On June 10th, 13 youth from the age of 12 to dads, moms, and even a grandma got the privilege of becoming a family as we went down to Chicago to serve at an Envision site. Envision is a ministry of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and they mostly do short-term work in different urban areas across the U.S. and across the world, too. This trip was really an extension of you guys, as we really couldn't have done this without your spiritual investment in our team, both through your prayers and through your finances. And today, we want to take this service and have an opportunity to stand before you and not just share the testimony about what God necessarily did in our lives, though he certainly did that, or how God used us to minister to other people, but we really, really want it to be a testimony about the kind of God that we serve, that our God is really living and active, that God is a personal God who takes an interest in us, and that when we give God time to work, God's going to take that and use it. And we had the chance to give God a week. We don't all have that chance, but we can give God an hour. What could God do with an hour in your life, in a day, if he gave that? An hour in a week. What could God do in your life? So this service is a testimony not just to us, but mostly to God. And you're going to hear a variety of team members today, and through a variety of means, some live and some through a video. And mainly we're going to be related to three different topics. The topic of evangelism, sharing your faith. We were stretched to preach the gospel to people. The topic of prayer, what it means, how to do it. And the Holy Spirit, one of the three persons of God, who we don't really touch on a lot, but a personal being, God, who comes to live within us when we follow Jesus. So even though it's a different service than normal today, we've still given you a bulletin, and you can write down on there what I heard, ways I can pray, and what I can do. So please follow along with us as we testify to the mighty God we have. Before we go into that, though, please watch this video.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Alicia Kotfor, and I'm one of the 13 who went on the Envision's missions trip to Chicago. Never in a million years would I have expected myself to be up here speaking, but here I am, yet again pushing myself out of my comfort zone. During the week of the trip, the Holy Spirit has moved me, pushed me to my limits, and put me in positions I didn't necessarily want to be in, but managed to overcome them. The growth not only I made, but the team made, from the beginning to the end of the week, was miraculous. The team was located in the northernmost part of Chicago, in Rogers Park. We were in a very diverse culture, with over 40 different languages within just the community we were serving in. Within 1.8 square miles, 40 different languages. And to put that in even bigger perspective, out of 60,000 people living in that community, only 1,500 of them believed and knew in God. That was a huge eye-opener for me. Almost every road you walked down or every corner you stopped at, you were able to see at least one homeless person, something we're not used to seeing around here.
Hello, my name is Carson Merschberger, and I went to Chicago for a missions trip. Thank you for sending our team. One of the bigger things we did in Chicago was a soccer/VBS camp. Every night around 5:30, our team would get all of the soccer balls, goals, and the other things out of the garage that we needed for soccer camp. The kids were separated into teams. Green team was the 10 through 12 year olds. The blue team was the 8 to 9 year olds. The black team was the 7 year olds. And the red team was the 5 to 6 year olds. The yellow team was the 4 year olds, but they didn't play soccer. I helped with the red team. Every day we would warm up, do a couple of drills, and get some snacks. Then we sang worship songs with the kids and did a mini skit about God's creation. After that, we divided back into our teams and talked about all the things God has done for us. Then we asked our team questions about God. Then we played a soccer game with our team. I saw God working with the kids on Friday when we asked our team if they had Bibles. Two kids in our group said they didn't, so we gave them their very own Bible. It was so cool to see their smiling faces as they flipped through the pages. As they read the little snippets of pages, I could tell God was working within them. When we left on Friday night, all the kids were very sad that we were leaving. But it's not me who is very loving and will stay with you through the toughest of times. It's Jesus.
Hi, I'm Heather, and I was able to go to Chicago with two of my kids. When I think about our week in Chicago, it's kind of crazy the amount of new things and experiences we were able to do in such a short amount of time. And the thing that sticks out to me in my memory the most that I've used in my daily life and in my community where I live is on the first day, Pastor Scott, one of the pastors there, sat us down and asked us why we had come. And we all took turns going around the room saying why we had come. My reason was that I had done trips like that as a high schooler and they had been really faith-forming for me. And I wanted that experience for my kids too. All, you know, really good reasons that we had. However, he said not one of us said what he was looking for. And that was to glorify God and to love our neighbor. Really very simple, the two things that Jesus told us we should do, and nobody had thought of that. And it made me really think about how selfish I think sometimes. Even just going on a mission trip, it seems like a selfish act, but I was thinking more selfishly about what I wanted to get out of it for me and my kids. So that's something that I really appreciated, and I've been able to take it into my community here. Why did God put me where I live? To glorify Him and to love my neighbor. And it takes time to love my neighbor well. I have to take time to get to know them and understand their story and where they're coming from so that I can show Jesus' love to them in a way that connects with them.
Hi, my name's Jade Hinkle, and going to Chicago was my first missions trip. Walking through Chicago was a thrilling and amazing experience, seeing the different buildings, traffic, restaurants, and the way that they live. As long as we've been home, I don't think I've complained about the traffic here once. Psalm 9:9 says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." In Chicago, there are over 64,000 homeless adults, about 25,000 homeless youth, and 48,000 homeless families. That's over 46% of the population in Chicago. The total of homeless in Chicago is 10.5 times the population in Plymouth. In Chicago, everything was great. Where we stayed was a good-sized classroom, and we all slept on air mattresses. There was a hall where a lot of the stuff happened. They set up tables for meals. We ate with the trainees and some others that joined from the community. We did some service projects there. We went on daily service projects that varied each day. Some days we cleaned the center, others we went on trash pickup, and we did a total of 3 prayer walks. The first one was just praying for anything that you saw and that you thought needed help. And while walking, the first thing we saw was a homeless man sitting on a bench across the street from us, and we instantly prayed for him. The next prayer walk was just like the one from before, but only barefoot. It was surprising to hear this, but I knew it was what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't understand the purpose of it until after we came back together afterward. The leader told us the purpose was for us to see what the homeless might live as. So as some people say, the walk in someone else's shoes became very real. We had just lived like what they lived every single day, what they saw, the stares and the whispers. I knew that hearing this and the whole mission trip was going to stay with me forever. Proverbs 14:21 says, "Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is the one who is generous to the poor."
Hello, my name is Jesus Torres. I was one of the 13 people on the trip. And one thing I've always had a problem with since I was like a little kid is praying out loud. Like if I'm like in a big group of people, if someone asks if I can pray out loud, I'll probably just be not mad at them, but I don't really know what to say. So most of the time I'll just like back up a little bit or just do something like that. So when I was on the trip, I could tell Don could tell that, like, he obviously knew that, and he just tried to help me out with that by, like, asking me to pray, like, a bunch of times, like, a lot, but that really helped out with me, so thank you for that. And so I kind of just encourage more people to pray out loud. It just, it's nothing to be scared of, really. I'm just more comfortable with it now. I just feel like a stronger person when I do it, so yeah.
My name is Haley Mersberger, and I went on the mission trip to Chicago. On the trip, one of the things we talked about was prayer. To go along with that, we did a prayer walk around Chicago. We split up into different teams and all went different directions in Chicago. My group got the chance to pray with many different people, but one of the coolest things we did was go into a fire station and pray with the firefighters. They all stopped what they were doing, and I got the chance to pray out loud over them for their safety. Then, moments later, as we were walking down the sidewalk, the fire truck from that same station we were just at came zooming past us on a mission. It was God's way of speaking to us and one of my favorite parts of the entire trip. Most people were very open to praying out loud with us. It was cool to hear the stories the different groups had when we got back to the Empowerment Center. Through the prayer walk, I felt I was directly making a difference in people's lives and that our whole team was showing God's love to others. Hopefully the people we prayed for saw a difference in the kind of people we are and continue to pursue the idea to find Jesus. The prayer walk was a life-changing experience for us and those who we prayed for.
I do better down here. So I'm Paul Schneider. And I was one of the adults that went along with the group. Thank you for all who sent me and helped out and prayed for us. Prior to me going that week, I really wanted to focus on being intentional and finding God. So the day before that morning, I prayed. And I was like, help me find you. And be more intentional. So that Monday morning, in the morning, we did like our service. And Scott, if you remember, he was the leader down there. He made us walk through the neighborhood, kind of get a feel for the neighborhood. We went in our groups. And when we came back, we did an exercise, and he gave, well, there was 13 of us, so Acts, the book of Acts. And he gave me number 12. And when I read number 12, it kind of hit me that what's to self-reflect. And basically Acts 12 is when Peter is imprisoned and he's chained to guards and to be executed after the festival that was going on. And at night, God sent a angel down, released those chains, and escorted him out of danger. So the rest of the day, I was kind of chewing on that. Like, what does that mean to me? And I've never done that before, and this is probably the first true chapter that I'll never forget. So for me is, what chains do I have that need to be released? And that came through my intentionality to find God that week. My wife challenges me to be intentional in my marriage, not to be comfortable, and to go above and beyond, and don't settle for comfort. Well, I think they go kind of parallel. And at the end of the week, I'm like, wow, this is just Monday. So I didn't know what the week was going to bring. But so that night, at the end of the night, now mind you, we started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't get done till 9:30 at night. So all day long, I was chewing on that. And then me and Pastor Don chit-chatted about that for, well over an hour, and how to progress with that. How do I process all that? So I'm like, wow, what's this week going to bring? So that pushed me out of my comfort zone and also challenges me in my personal lives as well. So going forward really inspired me to be more intentional. On a side note, little team unity, because of my work schedule, I was not part of one, I think I made one meeting with this whole group. So I left that morning on Sunday afternoon, and I had no idea who these people were. I was like, I don't even know their names. And shame on me. So, but throughout the week, from group activities to late night McDonald's walks, I got to know the whole team one way or another, and it was a great time. So I got to know them. The schedule, wow, it was busy. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8 a.m. till 9:30 every night. We were exhausted. I didn't know how we were going to. We got to Wednesday, and I'm like, how are we going to make it with 2 days to go? But we did. Those service projects, got to admit, I had a wavering moment. We were weeding a community garden, and I'm like, really? This is the best thing we can do? Now, mind you, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. It's all afternoon, 85 degrees, humidity, sun's beating down, and I'm like, this is the best thing we can do. So if you notice in that picture where I was leaning over, there was a tall stack of sunflowers, and I parked my butt underneath them, and I pulled the weeds from there. But we made do with it. All the kids did great, and in the end, it was a great day. That soccer camp, well, if you know me, I work in law enforcement. I deal with juvenile delinquents. I took on the old kids, the middle schoolers, the ones with the attitudes. I am 42 years old and never played soccer in my life. And these kids knew it because they were good. Luckily, I had Alicia with me. She used to play. But they were a struggle. They were like, this is dumb. Let's just get to the game. God sent help. The first 2 days, there was another group in town, another missionary group. They were helping out with the soccer camp, and they gave me two college kids that played soccer. So the first 2 days went a little easier, and the rest of the week we managed. All in all, thank you again for sending me. That was my week. There's so much more that we could talk about, but we got obviously time restraints. So again, thanks for sending me and my son and the whole team. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ella, and I was one of the students that went on the missions trip. This is my first missions trip, and I had no idea what to expect, but I thought I could learn something from this. One thing I learned was that God can talk to us in the most difficult times. During the homeless walk was when God spoke to me the most. The homeless walk was when we walked the streets barefoot for a mile to experience what it would be like to have not any shoes, like a homeless person. God helped me to appreciate everything and not take anything for granted. Throughout the VBS camp, I saw the kids I was working with grow in their faith by memorizing Genesis 1:1. I hope they can use this verse to remember how much God loves them. The kids we worked with were pumped to receive a Bible of their own at the end of the week. Something I hadn't done before was a prayer walk. A group of us left the center to go out and see what we could pray about. One of the places God led us was a fire station. We prayed for the firefighters, and soon after they left, they were called out to a fire. I feel like God showed us how he watches over us.
I had a lot of challenges occur during the week of the missions trip. By far, one of the hardest things, the biggest obstacles for me was trying new foods. I never managed to overcome it because I found myself in the kitchen making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches quite often. But being in such a diverse culture, every road had different ethnic restaurants. These restaurants were first generation foods, the real deal. I found myself liking the Thai food that we tried more than I expected. Another obstacle that I had to face was being able to get pushed out of my comfort zone and interact with people I knew nothing about and I didn't know. We had a time period each day called our service projects. This is strictly to be able to talk and get to know people a little better. On the first day of our service project, we were given a task of handing flyers out to kids and their families at the end of their school day. They were still in school at the time. The flyers were for the soccer camp we were hosting during that whole week at the Envision site. We held many prayer walks throughout the week as well, which included praying for random people you saw and or asking people if you could pray for them. This was a huge step for me because I wasn't used to praying out loud, let alone praying for someone else that I knew nothing about. They say If you make an impact on at least one person's life, it changes the whole trip. It makes the whole trip worth it. I thought about that statement for a long time before the trip. I thought to myself, sounds easy enough, right? During the week, we held a soccer camp for the kids that took place every night from 6 to 8. I was specifically working with the oldest group of kids, the middle schoolers, which were in fact the most stubborn and hard-headed. It took lots of time and patience, especially because we wanted to be careful of what we said and how we handled situations. Majority of the kids belonged in toxic environments, surrounded by unhealthy living situations or even family members. We never knew what some of the boys or girls were going through. We couldn't take chances or say the wrong thing. One person in particular caught my eye. She was the only girl in the group that Paul and I were leading, Evelyn. In the beginning, we hit a wall with her. She refused to do anything and put on a careless front. One of the nights of the camp, I noticed she was being quieter than usual. She was keeping to herself and not bugging any of the other boys like she typically enjoyed doing. During one of the drills, she started crying. I knew this was my chance to get to know her a little better. After courageously going up to her and asking if I could help her with anything, she opened up to me almost instantly, telling me how she thought her parents' divorce was because of her, and she felt like everyone was blaming her. This hit me. I've gone through two divorces in my life, and I felt the pain and struggle she was going through, constantly torn between the thought that it could be all my fault. I was around her age during that time as well. We were able to talk, and throughout the whole week, she became my best friend and sidekick during camp. Being able to wake up every day, I looked forward to being able to make a bigger connection with her. During the end of the week, I received a handwritten note from one of the interns working at the Envision site we were staying at. In the letter, the content mentioned that she had never seen someone be able to make a connection with that certain girl ever before. Evelyn hadn't opened up to anyone in the past until I came along. The last night the team was at the soccer camp was one of the only nights the girl didn't show up. I wouldn't be able to say bye to her. If I could say one last thing to her, I would tell her she changed my heart and she didn't even know it. I would repeatedly go on this trip every year if that means being able to touch at least one person. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:7.
Okay, that was hard to follow, exactly. So, I'm trying to get myself organized. I'm Colleen Cott, and I'm blessed to be the grandma along. So I'm grandma to Alicia and Jade, who were up here, and they also went along on the Envision trip. And it was really special to spend the week with the girls and watch them grow in an understanding of a Christian walk. We had many fun moments. We did. I'll never forget the dancing in the streets and Floss to Cross. I guess a couple of you could show it sometime. I think you know the Floss to Cross. I've seen that, yeah. And for those of you who don't know, you're not supposed to wear grout fits. That's gray shorts and pants with a gray top. That's a grout fit. So that's taboo. Apparently I wore too much gray. I also found out how much my granddaughters enjoy Cinnamon Toast Crunch and that their mom doesn't purchase that for them, so now they have 8 boxes and they're stocked. We also had many aha moments when you knew the Holy Spirit was there, and right there, right then, pushing and guiding and making each one of us grow in Him. In Acts 4:31, the Bible tells us all were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. Remember, as Heather told us and we learned, and we should never forget, our purpose on earth is here, is this, to first glorify God, and secondly, to love your neighbor. The week in Chicago gave us tools to develop in a Christian walk and how to talk to others. As they said in the Envision site, if you don't get out of your comfort zone, you won't grow. So I was pushed to get out of that comfort zone. Before we left, I read all the booklets and I tried to be prepared both physically and spiritually. I really like to know the plan, so I like to know what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, and have an agenda, but Envision doesn't really work that way. We got a schedule on Monday morning, but it was really time slots to fill in. You never really knew what you were going to do or what you were going to learn. And sometimes the pace was really crazy, and sometimes we just had time to spend in the presence of God. Speaking of the presence of God, every day at 4:45, we had a 15-minute pause time, a time to read God's word, to reflect upon it, and spend time in quiet with God. This 15-minute pause really stuck with me. How often are we just too busy to take 15 minutes out of our day to listen to God? We watch TV for 15 minutes. We'll play a game on our phones for 15 minutes. But having scheduled time with God is special. It gives us time to go, to be with Him, to listen to Him, and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. To my fellow Envision team, I hope this was a habit you developed, and to all of you listening, I challenge you to take time to hear Him speak to you. In the morning, at lunchtime, at dinner, anytime that works for you. But be still and listen. Chris Tomlin sings a song called Everlasting God, and we sing it here, we sang it at our Envision site, in which he tells us strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. I can try to explain it this way. Have you ever felt a feeling of peace or a breeze moving over you when there is no breeze? If you take time to be still, the Holy Spirit will work in you. Even you, when you don't know what to say or what to ask for, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8:26 through 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Finally, I want to thank you all who have supported us financially with your prayers, with your words of encouragement. I can't express how much that meant to us. Now, let's let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we'll follow bringing up the next generation. Thank you.
I want to close the service looking at a chapter from the book of Acts, which we've spent a lot of time, the team, talking about today, in regards to the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts takes place immediately after Jesus' death, his resurrection, and his ascension to heaven. And some of Jesus' last words, if not the last words of Jesus to his disciples, are this. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if Jesus was standing right up here, right now, speaking to us today, he would probably say something like this. You will receive power, Plymouth Lions Church, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Plymouth, in all of Sheboygan County, and to the people who are different from you, and to the ends of the earth. You see, us 13, we took a trip to what maybe the Jews would have considered a Samaria. We probably consider Chicagoland people, to us Wisconsinites, like kind of different. Hey, come bring us your tourism dollars, but then get away after the weekend, right? You see, we didn't have to go far to find people from a completely different economic level than we are, a different ethnicity, and certainly a different walk of life, following a different God than we worship. For that matter, though, we could have just done a mission trip right here in Sheboygan, because if we think about it, how many diverse people who are not following God. But what do people, when we were challenged, what do people in countries like Japan or Guinea or Brazil, people that we met in Chicago, or people on 6th Street in Sheboygan, Eastern Avenue in Plymouth, County Road A, what do they have in common? These people are carefully formed by God, for God, and until they find this God, they're going to be searching in vain, searching for purpose in something else other than God. And God's given us the Holy Spirit, not just for our own benefit of sanctification, though that's a really important part of why we have God come to live within us. But God's given us himself so that we can be empowered to be witnesses, not just to the people who are like us, you know, who live in the same kind of development or share the same hobbies, people who it's easy to be friends with, but to the people who are like the Samaritans, different than us, the people in Chicago who live in the slums or who come from places like Pakistan or Nepal. The mission of God, the heart of God, is to reconcile every man, woman, and child to himself. And if that's God's heart and God's mission, then may we inherit that heart and mission from God for ourselves. Don't miss, though, the means by which God gives us the ability to reach people, especially those who are different than us, those Samaritans, those people who live in Chicago or down the street who we know aren't doing good things. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the person of God himself, will come upon us to empower us. And we 13, we opened ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit this past week. We did things that we didn't think we were able to do, going up to people and praying for them. You know, like, who does that, like, on a regular day? Like, not me. And we found that even the people who are different than us, socioeconomically, ethnically, those people, God wants to use us to reach so that every man, woman, and child can be reconciled by the name of Jesus Christ with the one true God whom we worship. Too much is at stake here. So I want to challenge us and wrap this up and challenge us to be a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit, not just for our own sanctification and transformation, but that we may reach our Plymouths, our Sheboygan counties, our Chicagos, those people who are living down the street who we haven't taken the chance to get to know because they're different than us, and to the certainly to the ends of the world for Jesus Christ. But don't miss the means. It's not that we go to Bible school. It's not that we have all the answers. It's by means of the Holy Spirit. God himself dwells within us so that we can be empowered to bring the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth and to our neighbors next door. And it's for each person who decides to follow Jesus with all their heart, not just for people who go on a mission trip for the week. Certainly not. Don't think in your mind that, man, that's a great story and it's going to end for the week, or I can't do that. We can do that every single day as soon as we live here. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for just the evidence that you're living and active, God, and you're personal, and that when we open our lives to you, Holy Spirit, you invade us. You take over. God, you have so many people that you still want to know the love of God through Jesus Christ, and I pray that we as a church would continue to abandon ourselves and our agenda and be open to how you want to come within us, Holy Spirit, in a deeper level and use us. God, make us obedient. Make us sensitive to how you're wanting to use us. Not just the team that went to Chicago a few weeks ago, but each one of us here has a role, has people in our lives who we can witness and testify the greatness of God. Lord, would you continue the good work that you began in us by your Son, by your Spirit? We love you, and it's in your name, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen.